of Jesus Christ we have prayed. Almighty God, we look up unto you tonight, asking that you will send your word into our lives with authority, and your word will do that which you alone can do in our lives. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank all our prayer leaders and anchor persons whom God has used to take this retreat thus far. Thank you, Brother Remy. Thank you, Brother Tokwe. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Psalm 114. I'm going to read from the very first verse on to the last verse. And then I'm going to introduce to you the very topic we will be talking about tonight, even as we bring this International Leadership Retreat of TSC to a close tonight. Please turn your Bible with me to Psalm 114. I'm going to read it from verse 1 to the very last verse, which is verse 8. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel is dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains, that ye escaped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Verse 7. Tremble, thou heart, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flame into a fountain of water. The Lord bless the reading and the hearing of His word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The technical people want me to announce to you that if you are having issue with the audio at your end there, you can log on to TKP Radio. That's just www.tkpradio.org. The audio there is crystal clear. Okay. Tonight, by the grace of God, we will be rounding off this retreat with a word from the Lord that is titled God's Unchanging Provision for Your Journey in Life. The provision that God has packaged for your journey in your life. Whether we are talking about your academic journey as a student, or talking about your career as a professional, or talking about your marital journey as a newlywed, any kind of journey you can think of, or talking about your life in its totality, what provision has God packaged for your journey in life? This is very crucial, because the theme of this retreat is configured for conquest. And you will recall all that the Lord has been speaking to us right from yesterday evening, that God has no delight in the failure of any of His children. That the man, the woman that God has in mind when He created you, when He saved you and brought you into the kingdom, the person that God has in mind is a conqueror, is a person that will be exercising dominion in every sphere of life. That is the vision that God has for you. And you remember we told you earlier on in the day that these are part of the reasons why Paul cried, that I may apprehend what God apprehends about me, that I may catch the vision of God about my life, that every day of my life I may be able to see the exact thing that God sees about me. That was the cry of Apostle Paul. And I want to believe that right from that morning time, it has become the cry of your heart also, that the man God sees is the man you will be. And that's going to be your testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we want to look at the provision. Mind you, I have not said the provisions, but the provision, one thing that is needful, one thing that you cannot do without, one singular thing that God in His mercy and infinite wisdom has packaged for your journey in your life. And this scripture that we read quietly let out to you that one thing. But before we get into it, let me just tear up your imagination a little bit of what we are talking about tonight. You know, this scripture started by saying, when Israel went out of Egypt, the time that Israel departed the land of Egypt, the journey ahead of them was not a small one. And I want you to keep relating this to yourself. The time that you gave your life to Jesus, the journey you could see ahead of you, it's not a one-day journey, it's not a two-day journey, it's not a small one. For the people of Israel, they were to walk for a minimum of 40 days before getting to the land of promise that God destined for them. Never mind the fact that their uncooperative attitude with God make the journey of 40 days to become how many years, brethren? 40 years. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will receive God's grace to cooperate with God in your journey in life. So that the journey of 40 days will not become 40 years. When you cooperate with God, one of the things you enjoy is divine speed. One of the things you enjoy is things happening on divine schedule for you in life. You escape satanic delays when you cooperate with God. Never mind what men may be saying about you, like they might have been saying about Joseph. Erialala, dreamer. 13 years after, he is still a prisoner. Never mind what men may be saying about you. But by the time Joseph got to the throne at age 30, the prime minister of the then superpower, may I ask you, was it late for Joseph to get to the throne at age 30? Definitely no. He was pretty young. The journey was speedy. The journey was smooth. The journey was divine. So never mind whatever anybody may be saying about you today. Yes, you. That's why he has written jam many times. We told him that let's go and help you in the bush. You come and join other people, cheat and all the rest. He said he's going to remain and ask you. That's why he's still looking for admission till now. Never mind those comments. A life that is lived in cooperation with God is a life that gains divine speed. You will discover that when eventually you get to where God is taking you to, God can never be late. You will discover that God is always on time. You will discover that God's time is always the best. So back to the story that was summarized for us in Psalm 114. These men and women and children, they were very numerous. Men alone numbered about 2 million. Women were not counted. Children were not counted. But men alone numbered about 2 million. God took them out of Egypt, and it meant that they would travel for 40 days. Before getting to the place they were going, God knew that they will cross many territories. Many of those territories belong to the enemy. God knew that along the road, there will be beasts, there will be pythons, there will be dangerous animals. God knew that some nations will rise against them, threatening to annihilate them within a moment. Yes, listen. God did not give them a detachment of soldiers. God didn't give them mobile police to guard them on the way. Neither did he distribute to the able-bodied men AK-47 rifles. And yet he knew they would pass through dangerous terrain. Over 2 million people, they would definitely need food and water. It was not recorded that there were trailers and trucks carrying rice and grain following them. We didn't read of it in the Bible that there were water tankers following them on the journey. Yet, God knew what it would involve. for this huge number of people to travel for that number of days. He did not stack cash and dollars and stack it in the bag and follow them with it. But there was only one thing the Lord gave them. Can we go back to that Psalm 114 and see that one thing that the Lord gave them? He said, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was God's sanctuary, and Israel became his dominion. Verse 3 says, the sea saw it, that these people were carriers of God. And then the sea fled. When Jordan saw that these people were carriers of God and beloved by God, Jordan was driven back. Every mountain that saw the reality of what was going on, that the presence of God was in the midst of the people of God, the Bible says those mountains, they skipped like rams. You know, those mountains skipped like rams. The little east also, they skipped like rams. Meaning that impediment, obstacles, ran away from the presence of these people. And look at this great poet, the man that wrote this Psalm 114. He now said in verse 5, hey, what's your problem? You see, Jordan, what is your problem that you fled and you are driven back? Hey, mountains and hills, what's going on? What's going on? Verse 7 gave us the answer. He said, tremble all the heart at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. So the word we are looking for is in this verse 7, the presence of the Most High God. That was the provision He made for over 2 million people. In fact, if we may guess, we will say that they were up to 6 million people. Because that 2 million was just only men. And definitely the children and the women will outnumber men. Such a huge number of people. God was taking them on a journey to destiny. An historic journey to destiny, to Canaan. He didn't stack cash for them. He didn't provide water tankers. He didn't give them trucks carrying foodstuff. He didn't give them a detachment of soldiers or police. He gave them only one thing that never failed. That was His presence. And you could see in this Psalm 114 what that presence of God did for these people. That presence of God, how it silenced the enemy. That presence of God, how it handled every challenge on the way. That presence of God, how it made provision for their needs on the way. And now listen to me. TLC stakeholder. This one singular thing is what the Lord also has offered you and is offering you. His presence. That is the provision He has made for your academic journey, for your career journey, for your marital journey, for every aspect of your journey in life, all that He has given you is just His presence. Now, how did it happen for the people of Israel? So you could see how it happened for you also and how it should continue to be. In verse 2, it says, Judah was the sanctuary of God, the dwelling place of God. Judah became God's dominion, meaning that when the Lord picked these people from the house of bondage, just as He picked you from wallowing in sin, He has these two things in mind, that He will rule these people and through them rule. Secondly, that He will possess these people and turn these people to possessors. Meaning that in this eventful journey, there isn't going to be a time of separation. It was meant to be a journey undertaken with the Lord God Almighty, whether in the day or in the night. So when the Lord saved you and brought you to His kingdom, His intention for you is to possess you and turn you to a possessor. His intention was to take over the rulership of your life and then through you rule situations and circumstances that might come across your way in your journey in life. That was God's intention. So as He offered the children of Israel, He has offered you and is still offering you tonight His own very self, His own very presence, His own presence. That is the greatest offer. You see, John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave each person $1 million, that He built for each person a bungalow or a duplex, that He gave to each person visa to America. Is that what your Bible says? And that's what some people are pursuing today, thinking that is the end thing. That is the only thing they need. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me. So meaning that God loves you, and He gave His very self, His own self to you. Because that is the greatest thing you need. That's the greatest gift He has for humankind. And I want to show you something briefly before we move on tonight in talking about God's provision for your journey in life. The provision which is His own presence, His very self. That's the provision. I want to show you something. This presence of God, what actually did it mean for our fathers in the faith? Those that God offered it to and they accepted it, what did that provision, that is the presence of God, what did he do for them? You see, as we look at those things one by one, as a man and as a woman that is configured for conquest, it should give you joy. You should get excited that this thing that the presence of God did for them, wow, I stand to enjoy the same thing. Those men and women, that all that God gave them for their journeys in life was just his own presence. What did that presence do for them? Let me show you this man I love so much first. And that's Daniel. I love him so much. What did the presence of God do for Daniel? A time came in the journey of Daniel that for no offense that he committed, he was thrown into the den of lions. And listen carefully, whether physical lion or spiritual lion, such time come also in the life of every follower of Christ that you find yourself in the den of lions. And you are wondering, am I going to survive? Am I going to come out alive? Hey, am I going to survive this season in my life? But look at what the presence of God did for Daniel. The following morning, when the king came and called unto Daniel, Daniel said, yes, the Lord sent his angels. And his angels shut the mouth of the lion. And I'm alive and well, king. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus. The presence of God in your life will shut the mouth of every spiritual lion. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what the presence of God did for Daniel. Shut the mouth of lion. And Daniel came out unscratched, untouched from the lion's den. But you need to know that that deliverance, that miracle, was not an ordinary one. So God orchestrated it that the people that implicated Daniel, the king said, alright, you guys need to go and check the place now to see how the place looked like. So the king ordered that those men who are jealous of Daniel, they will be taken on a journey to the den of lions also. You are familiar with the story. You know what happened. You can remember what happened. The presence of God will guarantee you security. I have to mention this security first and foremost because we live in an age when security is becoming a paramount thing on the list of almost everybody. Everybody thinks about security. Everybody prays about security. It's becoming a very serious matter because of the nature of the dispensation that has come upon the entire planet Earth. And you want to know the nature of that dispensation? Go and read Matthew chapter 24. Then you understand the nature of the dispensation that has come upon the entire planet Earth. So everybody is security conscious. But the greatest guarantee for your security in life, the unfailing guarantee for your security 24/7, whether you are flying in the sky
or you traveling by road or by water or by train, whether it's in the day or in the night, whether you are right in your house or on the road or in the office or even inside the church sanctuary, the greatest guarantee, the unfailing guarantee for your security in life is the presence of the Most High God. That is what the presence of God did for our fathers in the faith. And if you too will embrace this provision of God for your journey in life, this divine configuration for your smooth journey in life, the presence of God, if you will embrace it, receive it with thanksgiving, guide it jealously, what the presence of God did for our forefathers, it will surely, certainly do for you also. The presence of God, what it did for our forefathers. The second thing I want to point your attention to in what the presence of God did for our forefathers is making ways for them all the time. They were never stranded. Just imagine the scenario. The people that just escaped from the house of Egypt, they got to a point before them was the Red Sea. Behind them was the army of Egypt, marching ferociously, angrily. Just imagine. It looked as if the end of the journey had come. It looked as if they were not going to see the next day. It looked as if they weren't going to take a step further. It looked as if their world had come to an end. Listen carefully, beloved. If there is any situation you are going through, threatening you, screaming to you day and night that no way forward, the end of the journey has come, beloved, speak to that situation tonight and say, the presence of the Most High God that parted the Red Sea, the same presence of God will part you asunder. And then you will see that situations and circumstances, they have ears. They can hear what? You will see those situations and circumstances disappearing fast from your way. Whatever it is this ill health that is threatening you? Whatever it is that is threatening you, looking you in the face, saying that no way forward, tell that thing that the presence of God that parted the Red Sea before the people of Israel, I am carrying the same presence. That same God dwells inside of me. So your situation and circumstances begin to find your way in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I tell you, you will come back with testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second thing. The presence of God, which is the provision that God gave to these people. That's the second thing it did for them. And then the third thing it did for them was meeting all their needs. The presence of God was meeting the needs of these people. Hallelujah. You remember at a point they needed food, the presence of God brought manna. At a point they needed water, the presence of God brought water. In fact,
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 10, showed us the secret of what actually happened when the water was provided for them. That the rock that was following these people, that rock was Christ. You just go and check 1 Chronicles chapter 10. He said the rock was Christ. That's the reason why Moses was not allowed to treat that rock anyhow. Because the rock that was following them, the rock of ages, the rock that provided water for them when they were thirsty, that same rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. He said the rock was Christ. Meaning that in that eventful journey, in that journey to destiny, Jesus Christ, in form of a rock, was following them in the journey. But not only in form of a rock, you will remember, at a time, he became a pillar of fire in the night. At a time, at that same time, he became a pillar of cloud in the day. The pillar of fire stood before them, giving them light, leading them. The pillar of cloud stood behind them, putting a difference between them and the Egyptians. This God is wonderful. And God still does the same thing today, beloved. He will come as a pillar of cloud, standing between you and the enemies of your soul. Why that pillar of cloud is giving darkness to the enemy? Meanwhile, the pillar of fire is before you in your front, leading you on in your journey. That's God. That's what the presence of God can do. Can transform into whatever the presence of God that He offers you. Can transform into whatever. In order to protect you, in order to lead and guide you, in order to direct you, in order to provide for you. That's number three thing. The presence of the Lord did for our forefathers, and which you stand to enjoy also, if you will embrace the presence of God. That presence of God will be putting a severance between you, you know, and the enemy. Another thing that the presence of God meant for our forefathers was power. You read Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. Jesus entered into that house. The power of God entered. Everybody that had problems, their problems were solved. They were healed. The presence of God meant power. Due to you embrace the presence of God in your journey in life, you will experience the power of God continually. In fact, at the time you least expected, you will be seeing the power of God in display, because the presence of God meant power for the people of God. Should you embrace? Should you acknowledge? Should you jealously protect the presence of God in your journey in life? You are not going to be a powerless Christian. Just mark it. You are not going to be a powerless Christian. You will be a Christian full of power. You see, that power may not be shaking you and making noise everywhere you go, but the power is there, ready to manifest at the slightest point of need. You see, I just liken this power we are talking about to an electric cable that is plugged to electricity.
That cable is not going to make noise. That cable is not going to say, don't touch me, oh. I carry power. I can shock you. I can electrocute you. If the cable in your house begin to make noise like that, something is wrong. So you are not to be a believer that I'll be going up and down making noise in your office. You don't know whom I am. You say, I can command you now and something will happen. Then that's a fake Christian. You will be as quiet as the electric cable. You will be as quiet as that electric cable that is connected with the power source. But any demon, any witch that will make the greatest mistake of his or her life, let that demon come and touch you. He will be electrocuted. He will be shocked. If he's only shocked, let that demon be thanking his luck. But he may even be electrocuted for touching a cable that is connected with the power source. For touching a believer that is carrying the presence of God. Has God not said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm? The reason is that you are connected with him. His presence is with you. There is a current, Holy Ghost current, running through your body. That current is not making noise because you are not an empty barrel that makes the loudest noise. The current is gentle. The current is quiet. But the current is loaded with power. These are the understanding you need to live a life of victory and conquest. The understanding that helps you to see God day and night. The understanding that helps you to understand your source, your secret, your strength. The understanding that helps you to know the implication of your connection with the Almighty God. To know the implication of being a carrier of the Most High. The presence of God means power. Power to heal the sick. Power to save the lost. Power to deliver the oppressed. Power to progress. Power to prosper. Power to forge ahead where others are saying there is no way forward. Power to say there is a lifting when others are saying there is a casting down. Power to stay healthy. Power to test sickness. There is no place for you here. Get out. Be gone. The presence of God means power. Let me show you a few more things that the presence of God meant for our forefathers. The presence of God for our forefathers meant purity. Hallelujah. The reality of the fact that God was with them made them to run away from sin. Made them to reject the offer of the wife of Potiphar. The reality of the fact that the presence of God was with them made brother Daniel to say no to bribery from a particular king. The realization of the fact that the presence of the Lord was with them made them to possess their vessels in holiness and purity. People of God, the presence of God meant for these men and women purity. If you are struggling with the issue of purity, if you are struggling in your relationship with the opposite gender, learn a lesson from Brother Joseph. Joseph told that woman, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? You mean you cannot see God in this room? Me, I can see God, though. You mean you can't see God here? It's not possible to shut out God. God is right here. I can't do such a wicked thing and sin against God. Hallelujah. So the realization, the understanding of the presence of the Most High God being around meant purity for these people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Another thing the presence of the Lord did for these people is that it gave them prosperity. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord meant for these people prosperity. Hallelujah. Can I quickly read Genesis chapter 39 verse 2 for you? Genesis chapter 39 verse 2. Genesis chapter 39 verse 2. That's going to give you a new definition of the word prosperity. Genesis chapter 39 verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Praise the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. The presence of God meant prosperity for our forefathers. Let me run through the rest, so we'll be able to touch a few other things. The presence of the Lord meant promotion for them. If you are working in a place where they are denying you promotion that is due to you, don't worry, continue to value, to maximize, to cherish the presence of the Lord, because God eventually will fight for you. He will arise on your behalf. For the Bible says in the book of Psalms, promotion cometh not from east or west, but it comes from the Lord God Almighty. Listen, your heart is yearning for promotion in your place of work. Turn your attention to this issue of intimacy with God. You see, prayer moves the hand of God, and the hand of God moves any kind of mountain that eye can see or eye cannot see. No heart could be stubborn when the hand of God goes to work. One thing that moves the hand of God, one of the things that moves the hand of God, is your prayer. So you have been denied promotion in your place of work, run to God. You are going to see what will happen. The Lord God Almighty that removes sleep from the eyes of that king until Mordecai was promoted, that same God is the one that has offered you his presence. He has the ability to remove sleep from whoever he needs to remove sleep from. The presence of God. What it meant for our forefathers, it meant peace. Later on, you can take a look at Psalm 29, verse 11. What the presence of God meant for our forefathers, it meant divine possibilities. Hallelujah. I love that one. Paul said, I can do all things. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Paul was boasting of what the presence of God was doing in him. That with the presence of God, I can do all things. Any assignment difficult for you, the presence of God will bring the breakthrough that your heart so desires. So just as the presence of God meant divine possibility for our forefathers, so also it is going to translate to divine possibility for you. It is the presence of God that took Esther to the throne. It is the presence of God that took David to the throne. It is the presence of God that gave victory to David against Goliath. Come on, God is offering you that same presence. The presence of God. It will translate to divine possibility for you. And you too will be able to conquer your Goliath. Hallelujah. David boasted of the name of the Lord. Just like Psalm says, some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but who will boast in the name of the Lord? And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, David boasted in the name of the Lord. He said, you this guy, they call you giant, but you are just a little pusher. You came against me with sword and all the rest, but I came against you in the name of the Lord of Israel. Ha ha ha. You know the rest of Israel. That's the same thing God is offering you. With the presence of God, no Goliath will be able to stand before you. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Can you rehearse that scripture where you are and put your name there? Romans chapter 8 verse 31. If God be for Shola Adebayo, nobody can be against me. Hallelujah. That is what the presence of the Lord will do for you. The presence of the Lord will make you fruitful in life. Because Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 verse 5, He said, without me, you can do nothing. But when you abide in me, when my presence is with you, you will bear fruit. You will be fruitful. The presence of the Lord will make you fruitful physically, spiritually, professionally, maritally. The presence of God will make you fruitful ministerially. The presence of God guarantees fruitfulness. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord. Those are the things it did for our forefathers. And the presence of God will certainly do the same thing for you also. But let me answer a very crucial question at this point. Having painted to you, presented to you, what the presence of God meant for our forefathers, and what this same presence of God is going to do for you, because that is the only provision He has packaged for your journey in life. I then need to answer this question. But how can we secure? But how can we sustain the presence of God? Or is this available to just anybody? Is this something you can pick up in the gutter? Is this something that flies in the air and anybody can just catch it at will? How can we secure it? After securing it, how can we sustain it? I will refer you back to the same text where we started from. And that is Psalm 114. To see how to secure the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And God, who cannot lie, when you play your part, the rest are sure that God keeps covenant.
So Psalm 114, verse 2, said Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel is dominion. Judah became the dwelling place of God. You see, let me tell you something. Every spiritual being needs a physical being to dwell, to manifest, and to operate. So God Almighty always need a physical being to occupy, to dwell in, to manifest through, to operate through. And if as you are listening to the word of God right now, you will make a commitment to offer yourself as a sanctuary unto God. You know the meaning of sanctuary, the dwelling place of God. Bad thoughts, lustful thoughts, pornography, foul languages, dirty acts, they cannot dwell in the sanctuary where God is. If you will cleanse yourself of all those defilements, that's what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says. You will become the sanctuary of God. God will, with all pleasure, come and dwell on the inside of you. See how God put it in Exodus chapter 25. He spoke through Moses in verse 8. Exodus 25:8. He said, tell the people of Israel, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And I stand on this pulpit tonight telling you, whether you are a TSC stakeholder or by the reason of the mercy of God, you just stumble across the radio channel, you stumble across the YouTube, you stumble across the Facebook, you are connected through Zoom, and you are listening to the word of God tonight. I am repeating Exodus 25, verse 8. God says, build me a sanctuary so that I can dwell in the midst of them. If you cannot do it, God will not tell you to do it. The commandments of God are not cumbersome. That's what 1 John says. Every commandment that God issues, you can be sure they are doable. They are not cumbersome. They are not confusing. He said, tell the people of Israel, let them build me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among them. My dear listener, right there as you are seated, determine to build God a sanctuary, and it will dwell on the inside of you. Cleanse yourself of every defilement. If there is anyone you know as you are seated there, confess it to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. Yesterday I did it. Last week I did it. Last month I did it. Last year I did that. This is my life. God, I'm sorry. I am packing all those things out of my temple tonight. I'm packing them. I'm beginning a new life. God said, build me a sanctuary. It is something you can do right there as you are seated. In fact, if that sin is so weighty and you are wondering, hey, will God just forgive me ordinarily like that? You can pay some more respect to God and kneel down where you are and say, God, have mercy on me. And He will have mercy on you. Never mind that you are in the midst of people, because we have some TSC centers
like Ofala, like Tamale in Ghana, where our brethren are gathering together, watching, I mean, participating in this retreat together. So never mind that there are people around you. You are packing every defilement out of your life right now. For 1 minute, you can go on your knee and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go back into this thing again. And when you do that, you are building a dwelling place for God. You are building a sanctuary for God. And God will say in Exodus 25:8 that you should build him a sanctuary so he can dwell among you. He will certainly come in his mercy. He said, whoever come unto me, I will in no wise cast away. He will come. He will eat with you. He will dine, eat, and drink with you. That is his promise in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. So that is the first thing you do when you want to secure the presence of God. Build in a sanctuary. He said in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10, so give me your heart. I want to dwell in your heart. The heaven belongs to me. The heart is my footstool. But it is right inside your heart. I want to dwell. That's the first thing to do. To secure the presence of God. Then the second thing to do, separate yourself unto God from today. Let it be known and clear to everybody that you are not available for just anything. Because a life in which anything goes, the going is always downward. Make it very clear. You are not available for just anything. You are separated unto God. You are consecrated unto God. Separate yourself unto the Lord. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 and 18. Separate yourself unto God. And then the next step you take in securing and sustaining the presence of God from today, stop touching anything unclean. Don't have anything to do with the work of darkness. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Stop touching anything unclean. Stop fellowshipping with darkness. And the next thing you make sure you do daily, abide in Christ Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 4. To secure and to sustain the presence of God. It's not a cumbersome thing. It's not an undoable thing. Just follow these little instructions from the Word of God. And then the next thing you do, that should be number 5 now. Hear the voice of God on a moment by moment basis. In John chapter 10 verse 27, Jesus said, I know my sheep. They hear my voice. Me too, I know them. They know my voice. They hear my voice. Hear the voice of God on a moment by moment basis. How do you do that? How do you do that? Read the Word of God. The Word of God contains the mind of God. The Word of God contains what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the people of God. They are packaged in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Not only to start your day, but even to continue your day. Read the Word of God. Not only to continue your day, but even to conclude each day. The Word of the Lord is a powerful magnet that attracts
the presence of God to the life of a man. Let me just mention one more thing to you, and I want you to take this very, very serious. Because the Lord also takes it very serious. You want to sustain the presence of God. Get involved in missionary work. Hallelujah. You're wondering, where is the biblical basis for that? Follow me to Matthew 28. I know if you can find it in the Bible, I know you are going to do it. I know you are going to take the step. I know you are going to be obedient. All you want to see is, show it to me, please. In the Bible, I want to see it. Beautiful. Follow me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. You will see how your involvement in missions could be equal to sustaining, carrying about 24/7 the presence of God. Matthew chapter 28. Now I'm going to read verse 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. You see, this will be easy for you to remember. It is the very last verse in the book of Matthew. Whenever something wants to tempt you to dump the work of mission, and you are wondering, but I shouldn't dump mission work because it is tantamount to sustaining, carrying, maximizing the presence of God. Just remember the last verse in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. Only in the city where you are dwelling? No. Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to sustain the presence of God. You want to enjoy the presence of God. You want to benefit, maximize, swim in the pool of His presence. Very simple. Jesus Christ said, when you do what I have told you, right from verse 19, then I am with you. You will enjoy my presence. In verse 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything whatsoever that I have commanded them. That is mission. Going to all the nations, the rich ones, the unreached ones, wherever those nations are, whether they are in Afghanistan or in Pakistan, whether they are in Senegal or in Morocco, whether they are in India or Sri Lanka, he said, go to all nations, raise disciples from among them. That is the meaning of mission. Not more than that. If you have been hearing of TKP, CSC, Touching Lives at Christmas, that is all that we are doing. It is about taking the knowledge of the Savior to all the nations of the world. The nations in Kenya, the nations in Uganda, the nations in Rwanda, the nations in Cote d'Ivoire, the nations in Cameroon, the nations in Togo, the nations in Ghana, the nations in Niger Republic, all the nations of the world. Taking the knowledge of the Savior to those nations. Raising disciples, followers for the Lord Jesus Christ from among the sons and daughters of those nations. Turning the rebellious souls into submission to their Creator, laboring to turn the sinners to saints. That is the meaning of missions. And that is what we are doing in the kingdom project. And Jesus assures you in Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses there, that you obey me, you do all these things, behold, I am with you. Do you need any other argument? Do you need any other proof? You want to sustain the presence of God. You want to see the presence of God manifested. You want to enjoy to the maximum what the presence of God can translate to in the life of a man. It's simple. Get involved in mission. Get involved in the Great Commission. And you will see that the Lord, who cannot lie, will honor you with His presence 24/7. As I conclude this evening, I want to show you something about this issue of the presence of God. About this issue of God's unchanging package and provision for your journey in life. The people of God in the church of God are divided into four categories based on what they are doing with this provision of God for their journey in life. And we are bringing this to your awareness so that if you need to shift ground, you will shift ground. If you need to maintain your position, that praise the Lord, I'm standing on a solid ground. God has said, you will continue to maintain your position. The people of God in the church of God today are divisible into four categories. I see number one category of the people of God who are so ignorant of this thing called the presence of God. So ignorant. It never crosses their mind. That you mean as I'm cooking in the kitchen, you mean as I'm working in my office, you mean as I'm driving on the road, you mean every moment of the day, the presence of God could be there. You mean that God could be involved in every detail of my life. They are ignorant. I pity such category of people. And if you belong to such category of people, make a move tonight. Take a step tonight. You see a man in the Bible, Jacob, when he saw something in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, when he saw something that baffled him, he said, "Hey, God was in this place and I knew it not." You don't need to wait to see something baffling. Just respond to the word of the Lord to you tonight. When that man, Nathanael, came to Jesus, and Jesus told him that, when you are still under the tree, before Philip called you, that's John chapter 1, verse 54. Before Philip called you, when you were still under the tree, I have seen you. Nathanael said, "Hey, Lord, you are the Savior." Jesus said, "Is it because I told you that you are going to see a greater things after now? If you will move out of your ignorance of things pertaining to the presence of the Most High God, you will see greater things." Hallelujah. That's category number one. People who are ignorant of this thing called the presence of God.
Category number two are people who are willingly refusing the presence of God. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 15 to 17, after this group of people saw miracle, saw demonstration of power, how a lunatic man suddenly became ill, sane upstairs, and sitting down calmly, how the demons that got out of him got into pigs, swine, and all those swine ran violently into the sea. People say, hey, this is the power of God on display. And instead of embracing the presence of Jesus, you know what they say? Please, go away from here. You are too holy for our liking. Are you also telling Jesus to go away from your bedroom? Are you also telling Jesus to go away from your parlor? By your mouth and by your action, by your behavior, are you also telling Jesus to go away from your office, your place of work? Somebody made a statement a few years back, a prominent servant of God in America. He said, Americans, are you surprised that all these things are happening in America? That a secondary school boy will carry guns and say that my principal offended me, and before you know it, he has shot dead 30 people, 40 people, and the thing was just moving from one corner of America to the other. He said, are you surprised? Are you not the one that kicked God out of your educational system? Are you not the one that said you don't want God in your schools? There must be no prayer in the assembly. There must be no mentioning of the name of Jesus. There must be no reading of the Bible. That's at a global level. But at an individual level, do you know you can do the same thing? You started a business and the business is prospering. God is blessing you. But a time came. You began to tell Jesus, please get out of my business. No room for you in my business. Now I'm making millions of naira. No room for you again. Repent tonight. That is God's provision for your journey in life. The presence of God. How dare you then refuse His presence in your home, in your business, in your school? You are a proprietor, but you don't want anybody to know you with Jesus. No, don't pray on the assembly. Don't bring us you here. No, don't do this. Alright, we will see how far that school will go. When you are refusing the presence of God, we will see how far the harm of flesh will carry you. We will see. So we find people today refusing the presence of God, the only thing God has packaged for your journey in life. And there is this third category of believers today that are trivializing the presence of God. You see, to trivialize something means to turn something into jovialism, to turn something into joke, to handle something with levity, to say that something is not important after all. Brother Samson of the Bible, he trivialized anointing. Do you know that anointing means the presence of God? You who have been fasting, God anoint me. Hey, anointing. Anointing that will make people to be somersaulting. Listen, if you have the presence of God with you, you will see divine possibility in your life. Samson began to trivialize the presence of the Most High God. Have you also started doing that, young man, young lady? After having seen the power of God move in you on few occasions, like it moved in Samson, are you beginning to talk carelessly about anointing? Are you beginning to undo the things of God with utter carelessness? Are you beginning to touch people of opposite gender carelessly? Are you beginning to say that things that matter to you yesterday when you were small, they no longer matter today? Remember what God told King Saul. He said, when you were small in your eyes, I chose you, put you on this throne. Have you now become too big to respect my presence in the presence of the people of God? We have this third category of people trivializing the presence of God. But I'm happy that God still has a remnant that are doing this number 14 with the presence of God. And this number 14 is acknowledging, maximizing, cherishing the presence of the Most High God. That is where you belong. That is where you should belong. That is where the mercy of God will keep you all the days of your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. The mercy of God will keep you tied to the apron of the Master. The mercy of God will sustain you. The mercy of God will lead you from going astray. The mercy of God will wash you clean from every iniquity. The mercy of God will keep you away from getting puffed up with pride. That's what we saw in the life of Paul. He said, God gave me this messenger of the devil so that I won't get puffed up and I won't miss it. Eventually, you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. So this fourth category of the people of God, acknowledging the presence of God, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6, acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct you. Genesis 39 verse 9, that we have read earlier on, we saw Joseph acknowledging the presence of God. Apostle Paul was in that dangerous journey, in that ship. And after several days of not being able to eat, because the journey was tumultuous, suddenly, he rose up. He said, the angels of God spoke to me yesterday, who I am, to whom I belong. And he said, no life will be lost. That's a man acknowledging, cherishing, maximizing the presence of God. Elijah was able to stand up with all authority. He said, God, before whom I stand. And you know the rest of the story. Elijah did not partake of the famine of that generation. In such a turbulent period, Elijah was prospering and flourishing. And as I round off tonight, we're going to take a very little time to pray. But I want you to understand something, my beloved brother. That there have been people down through the ages who rose up to enjoy the best that is in Christianity, the best that is in their journey, at a very unlikely time. Maybe I should put it in another word so that you understand that statement with which we are rounding off tonight. Daniel rose up at an unlikely time in history. There was tumult everywhere. Changes everywhere. His country was conquered. He was taken as a slave. But that marked the beginning of the rising of Daniel. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Whatever situation that is threatening other people in their journey, the same situation will mark the beginning of your rising. Rising to prominence. Rising to prominence. Rising to prosperity. Rising to fulfillment,
rising to conquest, rising to victory at an unlikely time. That was when Daniel began to rise. At an unlikely time, that was when Elijah made history. History that made them to become sick in the heart of many people today. At an unlikely time, that was when the church, as you have the church of God today, was born. At an unlikely time. And despite the fact that the time was an unlikely time, King Gerard and other people were unleashing terror against the church. Yes, you read it in the Bible. They multiplied from 120 to 3,000, from 3,000 to 5,000, from 5,000 to uncountable men and women. Hallelujah. And I pray in the name of Jesus, no matter how unlikely the time is, touching lives at Christmas outreach, we continue to multiply. We continue to prosper. We continue to advance. We continue to possess nations. We continue to possess kingdoms. We continue to possess lands. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It may be an unlikely time for many people all over the world. Unlikely time to get job, but listen carefully. God Almighty will give you that dream job. Unlikely time to expect promotion from the place of work. The Lord God Almighty, by the virtue of His provision for your journey in life, He will promote you. Amen. Whatever this time is telling negatively on other people, with this divine provision, the presence of the Most High God, your rising is starting tonight. Your prosperity is beginning tonight. Your positive testimony is starting from now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to sing this song with me. And afterwards, we are going to pray. I will make your heart. I will make my heart your dwelling place. I will build your throne in my heart. Oh, come Father, come Son. Come, Holy Spirit, take your place in my life. I know you know this song. We're going to sing it just 3 times. You know we are talking about the presence of the Most High God as the unchanging provision, unfailing provision for your journey in life. Sing that song with faith. Sing it from the depth of your heart. I will make my heart your dwelling place. I will build your throne in my heart. Yes, Lord, come Father, come Son, come Holy Spirit. Come and take your place in my life. Yes, I will make my heart your dwelling place. I will build your throne in my heart. Hallelujah. Come, Father. Come, Son. Come, Holy Spirit. Hear it. Come and take your place my life. Sing it one more time. I will make my heart your dwelling place. I will build
your throne in my heart. Hallelujah. God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit, come and take your place in my heart. Lord, come and take your place. Come and take your place in my heart. Lord, come and take your place. Come and take your place in my heart. Yes, Lord, come and take your place, Baba. Come and take your place in my. Say, come and take your place two more times. Come and take your place in my heart. Lord, come and take your place. Come and take your place in my heart. Lord God Almighty, thank you for everything you have revealed to us tonight as the things that your presence translated to in the lives of our forefathers. And we know that each of these encounters are repeatable. Each of these miracles are repeatable. Each of these events are repeatable. And so tonight, in the name of Jesus, as a family, TSC family, we are embracing afresh that divine provision that God has made for our journeys in life. And so in unison, with one heart, with one faith, with one spirit, we pray tonight that unto this generation, the Lord God Almighty will make us living testimonies of what His presence can do in the lives of men and women in the name of Jesus. Tonight, I pray for you. If there are things that have scared away the presence of God from your life in the time past, tonight, in the name of Jesus, the mercy of God separates you from every iniquity, from every carelessness, from whatever it is that may rob somebody of experiencing and enjoying the presence of God in the name of Jesus. When men and women of your generation are looking for a living example of a carrier of God, they will find it in you. When people are looking for what the presence of God can translate into in the life of a man, they will find it in you. They will find it in your family. They will find it in your ministry. They will find it in your business. In the name of Jesus, people will see the demonstration of the power of God in your life, and they will say, God is with that man. God is with that woman. God is with that family. From tonight, that will become the testimonies of people about you in the name of Jesus. Almighty God,
as a group of people, unto whom the Lord has delivered the mandate of the Great Commission. As a group of people, TSC family, unto whom the Lord has been singing the song, realizing the reality that we are configured for conquest. We pray tonight in the name of Jesus that each and every edition of TSC will be soaked with the presence of God. Each and every of our outreaches will be soaked with the presence of God. Each and every journey that concerns TSC outreach will be soaked with the presence of God. Each and every project of the kingdom project will be soaked with the presence of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We receive with thanksgiving this unchanging provision of God for our journey in life. Even at a time like this. Even at a time when when COVID-19 is ravaging many people. We receive with thanksgiving God's unchanging provision, His divine presence that is able to shield us from every plague, from every disease, from COVID-19 or whatever their names are. We receive with thanksgiving the presence of the Most High that is able to keep us secure, that is able to keep us healthy. In the name of Jesus. By the reason of the presence of God, I decree tonight, no plague will move near your dwelling. No plague will move near your camp. In the name of Jesus. Between now and the next CSC leadership retreat, you will enjoy to the maximum the reality of the presence of God. In the name of Jesus. Your testimonies will be abundant. Your testimonies will be abundant. Your testimonies will be abundant. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask of you, is there anyone that came to this retreat with one mountain or another, with one challenge or another, with one Red Sea or another, with one Jordan River or another? Just as we read it in Psalm 114, so we speak it into reality tonight, that by the reason of the presence of God, that we have made commitment to cherishing, to acknowledging, to maximizing from tonight, by the reason of the presence of God, every mountain that followed you to this retreat, I command them, disappear. Disappear. Vanish. In the name of Jesus. Every Red Sea, give way for the advancement of the children of the Most High. In the name of Jesus. In every area where you are thirsty, needing water, and everything around you looks like flint of stone, looks like rock, the presence of the Lord will bring for you water out of the rocks, water out of flinty stones, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, the one that gathered us in this retreat. Thank you, the one that has revealed his mind and himself unto us. Thank you, the Lord God of Elijah, that answers by fire. Thank you, God of the world, the one that sent this word and the word is healing already. Oh, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We worship your majesty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, people of God. It's been a beautiful time together at this retreat. I'm going to hand over now to the moderators for some announcements to be given to us. Then may I just plead with you that please improve your communication with TSC headquarters, with TKP headquarters. When you receive WhatsApp, SMS, email from us, reply. And from time to time, you too should send message to the headquarters to check on the people of God there. Let's improve our communication. The Lord bless you. The beauty of God become evident upon your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.